Since the beginning of time, marriage has been the foundation of society. And one of the secrets of success in marriage is you don't have to marry the perfect person who's just like you.
Yeah, you see, God has created each of us with a unique set of strengths that when celebrated, rather than stifled, can unlock the true potential of your marriage. In strengths-based marriage, we've drawn from more than 50 years of research from the Gallup Institute, combined with over 35 years of experience in marriage counseling, to develop an incredibly exciting resource that can literally revolutionize your relationship and prepare you for a lifetime of passion and intimacy. And we can't wait to share it with
you.
That's
right. When you learn to recognize and focus on the strengths of your spouse, you'll be able to celebrate what's right about them and value their God-given differences, not resent them. Mm. So join us on this journey to explore how implementing a strengths-based marriage can bring you closer together than ever before with your spouse.
Dr. Donald O. Clifton was a forerunner in positive psychology. Through his research, he identified 34 universal strengths that exist within each individual. Working with Gallup, he developed the Strengths Finder Assessment, which reveals how our unique order of strengths affect the way we engage with the world around us, influencing our thoughts, feelings, and behavior. Thousands of businesses, teams, and churches have harnessed this strengths-based approach to interacting, resulting in stronger relationships and greater performance. So, what happens when you apply these same ideas to your own personal relationships, or even your marriage? On this journey, you will discover how to thrive in your strengths, recognize the positive traits in your partner, and develop your own strengths-based marriage.
I want to talk to you about how to make your differences dynamic rather than dangerous, because many people, when they get married, they don't know how to understand their differences, and because of that, they begin to fight, begin to judge each other, begin to try to change each other. This is what happened to my wife and I when we got married 44 years ago. We've been married for 44 years. And when we first got married, it was a nightmare. And I loved her. I was very attracted to her. She was attracted to me. We got married. And we began to fight just really, really bad fights, judging each other. And what I thought was, because she wasn't like me, something was wrong with her, you know, because I thought I was like the epicenter of normal. And if you're not like me, then you ain't normal. Well, she was very much unlike me in many areas, so different. And I was different, of course. And so we fought, and we were on the brink of divorce after several years of marriage, really believing that we had made a mistake, that there was something wrong with both of us. We both had judged each other so much until we learned that we were different by God's design, and we began to celebrate our differences. This is what changed our marriage. This is why Alan and I wrote the book on strength-based marriage, is because understanding your differences and making them dynamic the way that God intended and not dangerous. What happens when you don't understand your differences is what God made in marriage to help us to have a wonderful, fulfilling life and to be a team. This is how God made marriage. We're different, but we make each other complete. We come together and we become whole when we celebrate our differences. Well, let me give you an example specifically of some things in areas that were different and that they're wonderful when you understand it. First of all of our major needs are different. A woman, and I've taught this all over the world to hundreds of thousands of people, is that women, number one need is security. And the number two need that most women have is for open and honest communication. Women want to talk. They want the details, not headlines. They want their husbands to patiently talk to them, and that's how they connect with their husband's world. They want soft, non-sexual affection, and they want leadership. They don't want to be dominated, but they want their husband to be the loving initiator of the finances, the children, the romance, the spirituality, those areas of the marriage. So when a woman, when she's happy in marriage and her needs are getting met, it's because security, communication, affection, and leadership, those needs are being met. But men are not the same. A man's number one need is respect and honor. That's the mega need of men. Secondly is sex. I don't think that shocks anyone. And there are some women more sexual than their husbands, but most men are more sexual than their wives. The third need of a man is friendship with his wife. We like our wife to be our buddy and not our mother. And so we want to be friends with our wives. The fourth is domestic support. And that doesn't mean that all of the household responsibilities fall to the wife. It means that only a woman can really turn a house into a home. It's a gift that women have. And so even if a woman works outside the home, a husband wants his wife to be domestically centered. So his is honor and sex and friendship and domestic support. So we're completely different. Well, when we didn't understand that, we judged each other and rejected each other. Understand this, when you reject my needs, you reject me. I mean, we feel rejected. So Karen would say, can't you just hold me? And I thought, that's weird. And she would say, can't you just talk to me? And I think, you're nosy. And so every time she would tell me, you know, about her needs, I would judge her and reject her. Then I would, you know, tell her, I don't like it when you talk to me like that. She said, you're just too sensitive. And I would say, I want more sex. And she's like, you're a pervert. And back and forth, back and forth. Well, understand this. The surest way to fail is to try to change an unchangeable. It's unchangeable. We are different by God's design. Well, another area that we were very different and was money. We couldn't talk about it. It was a radioactive issue in our marriage that we couldn't talk about. And I didn't know that there were four money languages, that we just see money differently. But you're most of us are married to someone that just sees money differently. There's no right or wrong answer. It's not that it's bad or good. It's just different. And so Karen is what's called an analytic, and to her, money is security. And she's very generous. She's very good with money, but she likes to save. She's a saver. I'm an amiable. To me, money is love. We just got back off vacation, took our kids to Disneyland. I love to use money to love and to bring our family together, to do things for people. And of course, my wife is the same way, but she's more of a saver. I'm more of a spender. Well, when we first got married, we just had these horrible fights because I said, you're a tightwad. You're just a tightwad. You're going to die one day, you know, with all your money in a mattress and no one's going to like you. And she said, well, at least I'll have a mattress. And so with me, she called me a spendthrift. And when she called me a spendthrift, it was just, I got so mad. And we had these fights. You're a tightwad and you're a spendthrift. And see what happens. When you feel as though that your spouse has gone to an extreme, you'll go to the other extreme to try to balance them out. So she, the more she felt like I was spending, the more she saved. Well, I didn't like that. So the more I tried to wrestle the money out of her tight little fist, the more she would begin rat-holing and hiding money, and then you just end up at polarities. Well, what's wrong? Nothing. We're a great team. What a great team Team Evans is. We make better decisions together. You know, we've learned over the years. See, there's the old saying, if both of you are the same, one of you is unnecessary. We're different by God's design. We make a great team. We judged and rejected each other until we realized it's just the way that God made us. And so we come together and make decisions, and they're balanced. And we respect each other. When Karen says, Jimmy, I'd like to save a little bit more money, I understand the balance of that. And I honor that. When I tell her I'd really like to do this for our family, she honors that and respects it. So together we're such a great team. And I'm saying probably as a couple, you see money different. That's great. Well, let me talk about our strengths just a minute. Alan Kelsey, the co-author of Strength-Based Marriage, helped Karen and I a lot. We had a great marriage. I didn't know that, you know, our strengths were so different. So, and we have, you know, a lot of programs. We're going to be talking about this. My number one strength is achiever. I'm a get it done guy. You want to get it done, I'm your guy. That's the number one thing that drives me. That's my wife's number 34. There are only 34 strengths. So my number one is her number 34. My wife's number one is empathy. And empathy means, you know, caring for people and being able to put yourself in other people's shoes and just kind of having this like supernatural knowledge of what people are feeling and thinking, which is my wife. That's my number 34. That's my bottom one. We are exact opposites. And so we'll have these conversations before we understood our strengths. We would have these conversations and I would say, Karen, come over here. I want to talk to you about this. And she would say, I don't want to make a list with you. I don't want you to tell me what needs to get done today. And I just thought, well, what else is there in life rather than getting things done? Because I'm an achiever. I'm a get it done guy. Every day I wake up with a knowledge of what I'm going to do that day, and I'm going to check off the list. But my wife wakes up every day to love people, to take care of me, to take care of our aging parents, to take care of our grandchildren, to relate to the people that she cares about. Well, it's not like I'm an insensitive slob. It's just, that's my number 34. But guess what? God gave me a woman to balance me. Boy, we're just such a great team. We get things done because of me. I'm saying get things done as far as task oriented, because my wife's a very hard worker. But she feels for us. She tells me how I'm feeling. I mean, we'll be having a conversation and she'll say, "What do you think about that?" And I say, "I don't know." She said, "What do you feel about that?" And I say, "I don't know. I just don't feel a whole lot, you know, like she does." She'll tell me how I'm feeling. And she's always right. You know, a week or two later, I'm just sitting there thinking, well, that's exactly how I'm feeling. She knew 2 weeks ago how I was feeling. And what I realized one day is I need someone in my life that's not like me. See, we used to fight and judge each other. Our differences were dangerous. And we were rejecting and judging each other because we didn't understand. 1 Peter 3 tells men, live with your wives with understanding as a fellow heir of the grace of life, lest your prayers be hindered. And with understanding means respecting her differences. She's different. Women love it. They love it when their husband affirms them. And they say, "Honey, can you hold me? And honey, I really want you to be around this weekend because I need you to be here with me and the kids." And he doesn't roll his eyes and judge her and reject her, but he says, "I understand, honey. You know, there's nothing more important to me than just being here with you and meeting your needs, make sure that you're taken care of." Holding her, talking to her, being the leader of the home, not dominating, treating her as an equal, but leading her in the home. She's in heaven. It doesn't get any better than that. You're affirming her. If she has a different money language, you listen, you affirm her. Her strengths, you understand her strengths, which is so important. It gave Karen and I a different language in our marriage to understand. You know, she has empathy, I have achiever. We now have a language for that, and we respect that, and we're a great team. We're Team Evans. Our differences are not dangerous. Our differences are awesome. We are a great team, and you need to be thankful that God didn't give you somebody just like you. It would be a very boring life. God gave you someone different, and understanding those differences makes your marriage dynamic. Let me say this. There are three types of differences in marriages. One is rejected. This is how we started out. We rejected each other's differences. That's the worst. The next is tolerated. You don't really celebrate it. You just kind of tolerate it. You know, roll your eyes. Women, you can't live with them and you can't live without them. That's tolerating. The third is celebrating. This is where we need to be. We celebrate the fact that we're different. I celebrate Karen. 44 years of marriage, 44 years ago, I saw her on the outside and I thought, she's hot. Like her, I want to spend the rest of my life with her. But then she just drove me crazy. Not because there was something wrong with her. There was something wrong with me. I want to encourage you, learn about the differences in your spouse. Celebrate those differences, and they will be dynamic, and they will lead to a very, very happy marriage.
TBN wants you to discover the truths and principles found in strengths-based marriage, and you will begin to see your relationship with your spouse in a whole new way. Call or go online to request this powerful collection today with your gift of $120 or more, and as our thank you for supporting TBN, we will rush these incredible resources to you today. Call 800-626-7454 or visit tbn.org/strongmarriage.
If you're just tuning in, welcome to Strengths-Based Marriage. We have a guest couple with us today. Let's have a look at how their strengths influence their marriage.
Today's couple is Jimmy and Karen Evans from Dallas, Texas. Jimmy's top five strengths are achiever, self-assurance, command, relator, and learner. Karen's top five strengths are empathy, developer, restorative, responsibility, and harmony.
I'm Alan Kelsey. I'm the co-author of Strengths-Based Marriage, and I'm really happy to be here with you with my lovely bride, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Hi, darling. Good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
I always feel stronger when you're present.
Hmm.
Yep.
I like that.
We've been married 25 years in May.
Yep.
So we're going to do something special. And we have exceptional guests with us today, the co-author also of Strengths-Based Marriage, Jimmy and Karen. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
We are very excited to be able to have just a short time to communicate with you about what Strengths has done in your marriage. And so I've got some thoughts for you. I'm just going to get right in there.
Good.
Earlier in the episodes, you were talking about how in your early portions of your marriage, there was, you know, you were learning about each other, but there was also some rejection of each other along the way. If you fast forward from that place to where you are now, knowing what you do now about Strengths, what kind of problems might that have solved for you early on?
Oh, every problem, probably, honestly. I thought Karen was defective.
Excuse me.
I did.
He knows better now.
I thought you were supposed to be the same. I thought that compatibility meant that we would be the same. And I thought we're not the same. In fact, we're just so not the same. And Karen would feel, she's empathy is her number one strength. That's my number 34. And I just thought, she feels too much. Mm. She's too emotional. And I would shame it. And I would say, you're just too emotional. Stop it. Well, it's trying to stop the unstoppable.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it. And you're putting a lid on top of steam. It's going to blow. And that's what would happen, is that I would just sit there and judge her and reject her. And she was being who God made her to be. Mm. And if I would have known that, if I could go back 44 years, what I would have done is to listen more attentively and to affirm her when she would come to me and say something. I would say, that's so brilliant. That's so great. Because Karen is very relationally oriented and I'm very goal oriented. I'm relational. I love my family. I love God, but that's not my number one. That's her. She wakes up in the morning to relate. Okay. And, I felt like she was too demanding of me relationally. I thought her expectations were wrong. And so we just fought. And Strengths would have changed completely the way that I talked to her, the way that I listened to her, the way that I treated her. And we learned about our strengths about 6 years ago. You taught us and you helped us. And we had a good marriage, but Strengths just took it to the next level.
Wow. You said that you really admired him even early on when there were some difficulties. Mm-hmm. That just shows me that even in troubled relationships, there's always hope, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So when you're thinking about admiring him, is it just something you're thinking of, or were you able to articulate it?
I've always seen that gift in him, is being able to talk, and he's a great learner. He knows everything about everything. And it's not an arrogant thing. He just does. The whole family's like, Dad, tell us this, And so we always go to him for information because he's always attaining. So I love that, because I'm not a learner. I want somebody just to teach me. Tell me.
Well, that's true. You have learner, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's one of your learners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What drives him crazy, if I come into the room and want to talk about, Jimmy, I just think so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, and I can see that, it's like his brain just looks, he's like,
I can only take so much of that. But she's so good at it.
That's because that's how I see.
And in our relationship, we're a team. We really are a team. And when it comes to relationships and that type of thing, I'm just not on that level. And she'll sit there and talk. And I admire it. What I would just say is, leave them alone, Karen. Just leave everybody alone. Why are you in everybody's business? And why are you talking about like that? Because I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Now I'm just saying, thank God I have her in my life.
Yeah.
Because our family, our parents, our friend, every relationship in our life is better because of her.
Yeah.
And she keeps the integrity of our home. But with me, I keep us on track of accomplishing God's purpose.
Sure.
For us.
Good team.
Yeah, we're a great team. So early on in our marriage, I did greatly admire Karen, and she greatly admired me. It was the confusion about our strengths that created a lot of conflict, especially with me, because I was dominant and trying to change her. She would tell me how I was feeling and early in our marriage. And she was always wanting to know how I felt. And I just thought, that's a boundary. I'm not telling you how I feel. Well, of course, women They don't want you just to communicate. They want to tell you. They want you to tell their feelings.
Yes.
They want to open their feelings. I didn't know my feelings.
And then let's go deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she said one time.
More? You want more?
She knew something that happened in my past, and she said that really devastated you. And I thought, that didn't devastate me, but it did. A couple of weeks later, I was praying in my quiet time, and the Holy Spirit just took me back to what had happened. It devastated me.
Wow.
Well, Karen helped to wire me emotionally. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, what's irritating you about your spouse is a strength that you don't understand.
It's misdiagnosed.
It's not always true.
And usually your strengths come so easy for you that
That's
you
right.
don't see it the way the other person's feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you just think it's a natural thing. You know, everybody should be like this.
Yeah. But here's the point. I don't have empathy, but I have a wife with empathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have empathy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I respect her and we act as a team, mm-hmm. but if you try to force me to have empathy, it's going to be a bad day.
Jimmy, bring a little clarity to this idea, because the Bible says that the two are supposed to become one. And you mentioned earlier, like, I thought we were supposed to become the same person. But that's really not what that means, is
exactly.
it?
Exactly. You know, the misunderstanding, this was a misunderstanding I had when we got married. I thought compatibility meant sameness. See, it says, in the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And male and female is different.
Yeah.
We fit together. We're very different, but we fit together. And so we are different by God's design. And a lot of things about us, our needs, our deepest needs, our strengths, there are many things that are different. What you want to marry is your compatible opposite.
Mm.
But compatibility is based on shared faith, shared values, and shared goals, not sameness.
I see.
We share Jesus in common.
Yeah.
We have the same character. We have the same values. We want to go to the same place in life. In other words, if one person wants to have 7 children and live on a farm, and the other person wants to have 2 children and live in Manhattan, you got a problem.
Yeah.
You may both be Christians, but you don't have shared goals.
Yeah.
Okay. You may have shared character. But what you want is compatibility. But if you're 100% compatible, you're not the same. And people go online to online dating, which is great. And they have all those categories.
Yeah.
You know, I want this and this and this, and you find a person that matched in all your categories, super deal. You're gonna be very different than that person.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think that the online dating, though it's fine, it's great, great way to meet people, is it can set a person up for wrong expectations.
Yeah.
Because we were compatible online, we're just gonna have the same thoughts and finish each other's sentences and being an eternal mind melt. It's not gonna happen. You're gonna be very, very different. And so what I love about strengths, and on what you say, is your top 5 strengths, like there's like only 1 in 30 million people.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, so it's almost impossible to marry a person just like you.
Yeah.
It virtually is impossible. And that's not wrong, that's right. But if you celebrate it, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Y'all do, we do, okay? And especially when you have to understand it and then you celebrate it, when you reject it, it's devastation.
Yeah, it's so true.
Because when you come to me and you reject who I am, because we're wired this way from birth, when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to make myself be an achiever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or a learner.
My feet hit the floor, I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. Karen doesn't have to talk herself into being empathetic and to caring about people, even like Stephanie. But if you try to shut it off, well, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
Because now you're rejecting the essence of who I am.
Yeah.
And I believe that strengths, because we've done marriage ministry for 35 years, I believe that strengths is, it gives a language to our differences and an understanding to our differences like nothing I've ever seen.
Karen, anything you want to contribute?
I have a question, because you're so good at this. I was thinking as we're talking about friendships, you know, like you and Jimmy, your friends, and her and I are, you know, the friends that we have outside of this, you know, and I'm thinking, I really don't have that many friends I can think of that have empathy. And I think it's interesting that as friends, even, if you look at the friends that you have around you, they don't probably have your top 2. or three. Yeah. You know, like he's not best friends with a bunch of achievers, because how boring would that be?
You know? I know this person already.
Yeah. And so I think back, you know, how many times, you know, just in a marriage, when you're, before you get married, and you're producing a friendship first, you know, and just how that is, you know, what you start on. And just
that's
remember,
right.
You know, that's built on things that you really liked about each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a great point, because it's not just about your marriage. It's about... Mm-hmm. Your children, your friends, everyone has strengths.
Yeah, it's really true. These strengths really do make their way into so many different elements mm-hmm. of our lives, not just marriage or relationships.
Right.
Kim, Jimmy, Karen, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us today.
It's so fun.
Real pleasure to spend some time with you.
I love to see stories like that. That's why we do what we do, and an example of the impact these powerful resources can have on your marriage.
Yeah, for example, maybe your number one strength is empathy and your spouse's strength is to be restorative. Being aware of that is so important because it will help you to understand how each of you think. Because while someone who is empathetic will feel what others are feeling, a restorative spouse will see a problem and try to fix it. They both want there to be resolution and understanding, peace and growth, but their perspectives are completely opposite and, if misunderstood by each other, can be cause for some really heated discussion.
But trust me, no matter what situation you're in, your marriage can thrive in every area, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And we want to help you experience that today. So request your strengths-based marriage resources with your gift and discover the principles you need to see yourself, your spouse, and your marriage in a new, amazing way.
TBN wants you to discover the truth and principles found in strengths-based marriage, and you will begin to see your relationship with your spouse in a whole new way. Call or go online to request this powerful collection today with your gift of $120 or more, and as our thank you for supporting TBN, we will rush these incredible resources to you today. Call 800-626-7454 or visit tbn.org/strongmarriage.
I hope you learned something from the struggles and ultimate success that Karen and I have experienced by recognizing that we were two wounded individuals that God wanted to use in each other's lives to bring wholeness and healing. We've got to stop rejecting our spouses and begin to recognize that our differences are a necessary component of teamwork. One of the ways that we can do that is learn how to really affirm our partners.
So tune in next time to explore the importance of affirmation and the power we hold to make our spouses feel treasured and appreciated. There is hope for every marriage, and it begins with following God's plan and embracing the revelations we'll discover on the next episode of Strengths-Based Marriage. See you next time.